Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to read the first 15 verses for our text this morning. Joshua chapter 24 and verses 1 through 15. And we'll invite you, if you're physically able, to stand with us out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 24. And you follow along silently while I begin reading in verse 1. Joshua 24. Verse 1 says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for the judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out." Now stop for a second. The first five verses, he's giving a quick synopsis of his relationship with the children of Israel, from the time of Abraham until the present time when he's brought them out of Egypt. Remember, they're now in the promised land. Verse 6. "And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came under the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelled in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, you'll notice in verses 14 and 15 how many times the word serve is used repeatedly. I want you to understand, as Joshua stands before this new generation, ending here in this last chapter of the book of Joshua, he explains to them what God has done, how they are the great benefits of all that God has given them, and then he says, "Now I want you to choose who you're going to serve." You know what he's asking them to do? Make a resolution. Make a decision right now about what you're going to do in the future. Make a decision right now about which direction you're going to go. Choose. Choose whether you're going to serve the gods of your fathers, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or whether you're going to choose to serve God. But as for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. And so this morning, I'd like to speak to you about New Year's resolutions, choices that we should make. Father, I pray that you bless us today. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts, open our minds, allow us to let the Holy Spirit of God teach us something and train us. We pray that we would be sensitive to your leading, and if there's sin that needs to be confessed, we would do so. If there's something we should decide to do in service that you're trying to get us to do and calling us to, that you'd help us to yield to it. We pray that this morning you'd speak to us in a great way and help us to be different because we've been together in this place and you have spoken to us. So meet with us once again, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. I say that because as we think about New Year's resolutions, quite often we think of all these resolutions people have made or maybe we have made that we have not kept. And quite often that's because we make foolish vows. We make foolish promises. And especially when it comes to making promises to God. I want you to understand that spiritual vows are initiated by the Holy Spirit of God. He initiates those through really two different ways, mostly. Mostly he initiates them through conviction and through exhortation. The conviction can come from his word. The conviction can come through him using some other spiritual thing. Maybe it's a person's testimony or something else. But the Holy Spirit of God helps us to make spiritual vows by conviction. By the way, New Testament Christianity wants to run away from conviction. We want to celebrate Christianity minus the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't happen. We have to understand that the conviction of the Holy Spirit brings us into the proper relationship of submission with God, and then we can celebrate. So through conviction. Not only that, but through exhortation. What does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the singing of the Word of God, the testifying of the Word of God, the living of the Word of God in someone's life, and exhorts us. That's encouraging to us. Exhorts us to do something. Maybe he's exhorting us in such a way that this produces a godly resolution, if you will. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being resolved in doing something. We sing a song about it, right? I am what? Resolved, right? I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight, right? I'm resolved. I'm making a decision. So spiritual vows are initiated by the Holy Spirit through conviction and exhortation. So let me, by way of introduction, suggest a few things to you, and then we're going to look at three different resolutions, I think, that we find in the Bible as we end this year. So let me make some suggestions by way of introduction. First of all, as you go into the beginning of a new year and you end an old year, and you think about New Year's resolutions, number one, settle up your old accounts. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21 says, "When thou vowest a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee." What the Holy Spirit has convicted you about that you have decided to do that you have not done, settle up your old accounts. Decide you're going to fulfill what God has burdened your heart about. What you've started and not finished that God put into your heart to do, decide you are going to do. Settle up your old accounts. Number two, decide to start something new for God. New things always have to be started to stay alive. Always, 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 always. When I worked in secular work, quite often they talked about the one place I worked, the Gage Company. So many of these fellows would retire, and very shortly after that, they would die. And I started to think about one of the reasons I felt this was happening is they'd say, I'm gonna retire, and then I'm just gonna sleep around the house. I'm not going to do anything anymore. They had nothing to look forward to, nothing to start, nothing that was new, nothing that kept them challenged. Okay? And I know some people that retire and they're busier after they retire than before they retire. And that's a good way to be. Okay? It's a good way to be. But as a Christian, you need to understand that you need to start something new for God. Look at this new year and decide what new thing it is that God wants you to do. New things keep us alive. New things must always be started because old things will fade off. It's just the way life is. So start something new. So settle up old accounts. Start something new for God. And then thirdly, step up what you're currently doing for God. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Decide that whatever you're doing for God, you're going to step it up and do it better. Do it stronger. If you're serious about prayer, decide you're going to step up your prayer life. You're serious about witnessing, decide you're going to step up your soul winning efforts. You're serious about whatever it is God has for you to do, step it up in the new year. Don't try to just maintain the status quo. Because what happens to you is, as the river of life keeps pushing against you and the current with all the wickedness and debris keeps banging on you, you're going to find yourself losing ground. You better decide you're going to get in and swim hard upstream. Decide you're going to step up whatever you're doing for God. Someone wrote, "A new year is about to unfold with opportunities to explore. Doors will open for new experiences, new adventures for the Lord. Remember not the former things, the things of this past year. The Lord will do new things in us much more than we're aware. For he will make a way for us as we put our trust in him, and he will guide our every step by his presence we have within. What God has placed within our hearts, we find we'll be able to do. If we look for opportunities, we'll see the door to go through. We mustn't let anything hold us back, but rise up and take our place and be all that God wants us to be with a fresh touch of his grace. Decide that as the year ends and a new year begins, to settle up your old accounts, start something new, and step up what you're doing for God. Now, I want us to look at three different resolutions, and I would call them New Year's resolutions, but three different resolutions in the Bible. The first one is in our text right here in verse 15, when Joshua says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Can I suggest to you, first of all, we take a look at family resolutions. Joshua is making a family resolution. He says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He's making a resolution for his family. Could I suggest to you that as you consider the year that's in front of you, make some good and godly family resolutions. Sit down with the family and make a resolution for the family. These are some things we're going to do in the future. And let me suggest a few of them to you, as I thought you might need some help. First of all, you'll notice in the first 13 verses of this chapter, in chapter 24, the Holy Spirit, through Joshua, explains to them all these great things God has done for them. Now, let me ask you a question. You can answer my question by saying amen or being silent. Has God done anything good for you in the past?
Amen.
He has. Okay? So if God's done something good for you in the past, you're not going to like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. The first resolution you need to make as a family is to stop complaining and see the grace of God at work in your life and the life of your family. You know, sometimes when people get together, and I don't know, it wasn't this way at our house, hopefully it wasn't this way at your house, they get together for the holidays, all they do is complain. You know, that ham was a little tough. That pasta, the sauce was a little too sweet. And did you see, you know, I mean, it's complaining, 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 complaining. You know, man, decide as a family. One of the greatest things you can do as a family is sit down and say, "Listen, as we go into a new year, hasn't God been good to us? Let's talk about the blessings of last year. What has God done? Let's share a testimony. Let's talk about the things God has done for our family. And then, since God has been so good to us, let's quit complaining and start serving God." You know, Philippians 4:19, still in the book, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Psalm chapter 116, verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" I'm saying we have a good God. By your amen, you said he's been good to you. So let's sit down as a family and say, "God's been good to us. Look at all the things that God's done for us. Let's quit complaining." By the way, parents, children complain because they learn it somewhere. Okay? They don't just come out of the womb complaining. They learn it somewhere. Okay? And let me remind you, if you're a stay-at-home mom taking care of kids, when you complain about daddy all the time, understand that they're going to complain about you all the time when they talk to daddy too. Okay, it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. Employers complain about the employees. Employees complain about the employer. Everybody complains about the government, right? Let's decide to quit whining and quit complaining and say, "God's been good to us. We have been the benefit of the gracious hand of God." No, maybe you didn't see a Red Sea part last year, and then again, maybe you did. Maybe you didn't see the manna every morning 6 days out of seven. And then again, maybe you did. Maybe you didn't realize that those shoes kept growing with your feet, like it did for them for 40 years. But I got news for you. God has been doing miracles for you all around you. And he's a good God, so quit complaining. You'll serve yourself mentally and spiritually much better in the new year if you stop complaining. So make a family resolution. We're going to stop complaining. Secondly, and by the way, before Joshua tells them to decide to serve God, he points out all that God did. God did all of this for us in our history. Now, you can serve whatever God you want, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Stop complaining. See the grace of God at work in your life Thank him for it and serve him. Secondly, separate yourself from false gods. You notice in verse 14, he expresses that. When he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Decide you're going to separate yourself from false gods. In Judges chapter 2, just a couple pages from where we're at, verse 17 says, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them, and they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. What are you saying? I'm saying, I don't study the chronology of this, but you turn your Bible just one, in my Bible, from where I'm at in chapter 24 and verse 15, one page, and I'm at chapter 2 in the book of Joshua, and I'm reading in verse 17 how, guess what they did? Served other gods. Here's what I'm saying. They didn't seem to make it very long, did they? They didn't seem to make it very long until they were already serving other gods. Decide as a family, we're going to stop complaining, and we're going to separate from false gods. You know, as a family, you maybe need to sit down and look at how much time you spend doing things. How much time does a family spend watching TV? How much time does a family spend in particular hobbies or this or that? How much time does a family spend doing that? And then how much time does a family spend praying together? How much time does a family spend reading the Bible together? How much time does a family spend serving God together? How much time do we spend? Now listen, you can argue it all day long about where your heart is, but your treasure proves that. And your treasure is not just the money in your pocket. Matter of fact, one of the greatest possessions you have is time. 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 Where is it being invested? And I'm suggesting to you as a family that you decide to separate from false gods, because every bit of energy, every bit of time, talent, and treasure that you expend into the worship of false gods, you deprive from the worship of the true God. So decide to make a family resolution that we're going to stop complaining and see the grace of God in our family. We're going to separate ourselves from false gods. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So understanding the year ahead, we need to take a good look and evaluate ourselves as to what we're doing. We can say we love God, and yet we put ourselves into all these other things that on the surface it would seem we must love because of the time, talent, treasure we put into them. But the truth is, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you hold to the one and despise the other. You got to make a choice. And Joshua said, I'm going to make that choice. As for me and my house, he said, family resolution, we'll serve the Lord. So decide in the year ahead that you're going to stop complaining. Decide you're going to separate from false gods. Make a resolution, thirdly and lastly, to serve the Lord. We mentioned it. In verse 15 alone, the word service is used three times. Serving, 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 serving. Decide that as a family, you're going to serve God. Look, get together as a family and do some things. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Not a word. Can I submit to you and suggest to you that you need to get together and do something to serve God as a family? As a family. The happiest families I've known, and the most godly families I've known, are people that have gotten together and done something together to serve God. It was a great thing to see people as a family, little kids, parents. There might have even been three generations there of some group. And there was three generations there of a group. Three generations there out putting wreaths on veterans' graves. That was great. Generational thing. Doing it together as a family. As a family. Good to see people coming out as a family and serving a meal at the rescue mission. Good to see people as a family come out to go soul winning. Good to see people as a family come to church. Okay? Decide you're going to do things as a family. In the new year, make some family resolutions. Be in church together. By the way, be in church every time the door is open. Every time it's open. Dr. Lee Robertson used to say, five to thrive, five to thrive. That was all the services of his church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and their prayer meeting. Five to thrive, he used to say. Had a big thing. Five to thrive. Banners everywhere. Five to thrive, five to thrive. You're going to thrive, he said? Be there. Five to thrive. Get in church. Plan your schedule around church activities so you don't miss important things. I have the calendar that we'll hand out in the service tonight. I always hand it out at the watch night service, and it'll be here next week when you're here at the Welcome Center. Look and see when the missions conference is. Don't schedule your vacation there so that you and the kids are there and they get to meet missionaries. People always say to me, oh, you know, you had that, but we planned this. Well, I put it out at the beginning of the year. Look at the calendar. Try to plan yourself around those things so that your family can benefit from Vacation Bible School or Missions Conference or the teen revival that we have, the teen conference we have, all these different things. Look at those things and plan your schedule around those things. Decide that you're going to get every member of your family involved in church. Number one, get them involved by getting them the gospel and getting them saved. Decide this year that you're going to work on getting the gospel to air. Look, it's individual soul liberty. It's their decision whether to trust Christ or not. We get that. But it's our responsibility to give them a chance. So let's decide this year to give everybody in our family a chance. And then let me suggest another thing to you, just lastly. As a family, decide to have dinner together and devotions right afterwards. Decide to have dinner and devotions together as a family. Don't have dinner with the TV trays around the TV. Sit at the table, have everybody shut off their phone. If you have to put a basket at the door and have them all throw their phone in a basket, okay, look, I'm preaching to the choir here, okay? You know, there's times with our family that I've said, all right, shut off the phones. Shut off the phones. Put them away. Okay? You want to talk to me? Look me in the face. Don't look me up on Facebook. Okay? So, have a dinner where you look at each other and talk. Remember talking? Not texting. Talking? Okay? Been around since Adam and Eve. Okay? Have dinner together as a family. As a family. You say, but our schedules, work it out. Figure it out. Figure out a way to make it possible. Try to have dinner together as a family every day. And then at the end of dinner, slide the dishes to the side. You don't have to wash them right then, lady. Okay, I know I've been at meals where they're washing them right away. Okay? That bacteria is not going to get that much worse in 30 minutes, okay? Let them sit. It'll be fine. And open the Bible and read a portion of the Scripture. If everybody's old enough, have everybody read a little bit out of the Scripture. Maybe that's all you got to do. Have everybody read a verse and say, now what does that mean to you? And spend 30 minutes as a family. You have no idea how the families of America would be changed if every family ate dinner together every night and had devotions from the Bible every night together. It would transform our country. But listen, it begins with us. If we're not doing it, how can we expect anybody else to do it? Okay? Let's make a resolution. Some family resolutions. Joshua stepped up now, and we can look at Joshua's family and say they didn't keep it very well, some of them. That's true. But we're going to talk about that near the end, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But let's make some good resolutions, okay? If you aim at nothing for next year, I guarantee you, you're going to hit it every time. But aim at something. Aim at something. It's better to aim at something and miss it than to aim at nothing and hit it every single time. Some family resolution. Then I want you to see not only a family resolution in the Bible, but I notice a far country resolution. You don't have to turn to it if you'd like to. It's in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. In the story of the prodigal son, he makes a resolution. For sake of time, I won't read the whole story. Verses 17, 18, and 19. The prodigal son, who's still in the far country, he hasn't gone home yet, makes a resolution. I'm calling it a far country resolution. And here's what he says. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, you might find yourself a little bit distant from God. When you find yourself distant, a little bit distant from God, decide to make a resolution. I'm calling it a far country resolution. Here's how you do it. Number one, be honest about who you are and where you are. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself. You know the hardest thing for Christians to be is real. To be honest about who they are. Oh, by the way, you're good at evaluating everybody else. Right? I can ask you about brother or sister so-and-so's sins, And you can tell me all about them, but your sins, oh, that's another subject, right? Because you're perfect, right? What are you saying? I'm saying to make a far country resolution, the prodigal son first had to come to himself. Here I am, I'm in the hog pen, a Jewish boy feeding pigs and eating what the pigs eat. I didn't know how good I had it. Apparently he was complaining and not counting his blessings when he was back at home. He wasn't eating at the table and having devotions afterward with his dad and his brother. Things might have been different if there had been some good family resolutions being followed. But here's where he's at. So first of all, be honest about who you are and where you're at in your Christian life. Second of all, decide to go back home and get near to God again. In verse 18, he says he's going to arise and go to his father. The first key to you is being honest about who you are and where you're at and deciding to get back and get close to God. Whatever it takes, give it up, get rid of it. What's funny is sometimes people in the hog pen don't want to give up the hog pen to be back in the Father's house. Doesn't make any sense, does it? The hog pen of sin seems to be more attractive sometimes to the hogs that are in it than it is to clean up and get back to the Father's house. And I'm saying to you, make a resolution, a far country resolution, that's first of all honest with yourself about who you are and where you're at, and then get back home near the Father. And then thirdly, banish pride and humble yourself. In verse 19, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Look, you're never going to get out of the far country and get close to God until you get humble. Until you get humble. Our problem is, we think we are worthy. God, I'm worthy of all of your blessings. No, you're not. And neither am I. We are, of all people, most miserable. And we are unworthy. It's a wonderful song, unworthy, right? We're unworthy of everything that God's done for us. And we need to have that kind of attitude if we're going to get back right with God again. So be honest about yourself and where you are. Get back home near your Father, whatever it takes. Banish pride and humble yourself to God. Let me give you a couple of practical suggestions. Take time to be honest about your spiritual situation every day. Now, you know what we call that? Confession. Listen, you say, well, we're not Catholic. No, we're not Catholic. You don't go into a little booth and sit with a guy that calls himself father and dresses like your mother and tell him all the things you've done. Okay, no, we don't do that. But you know what we also don't do? We don't go to our Heavenly Father and confess our sins. You know, 1 John 1:9 was not written to lost people. It's written to believers. For if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every morning, I'm evaluating myself. Every morning, I'm looking at who I am and where I'm at. As I bow my knee and I say, God, here's the sins that are in my life. Here's what I've done yesterday. Here's a sin in my life. And I'm confessing it to you, God. Please forgive me and give me strength and help not to do that again and to grow in grace in the future. Every day, evaluate yourself. Take time to be honest and evaluate yourself spiritually. Confess to God every day. Secondly, read your Bible every single day. Look, if you haven't started it, maybe you say, well, I started this once before and I quit. That's my third resolution, so I don't want to get there, okay? But don't give up on things that you failed at, okay? Don't give up on it. Figure out a program that's going to work for you. Maybe it's too hard for you to read through the Bible in a year. You can read through the Bible in a year by reading 15 to 17 minutes every day. Some people it takes 20. I'm a slow reader. I read silently the same speed I read out loud. When you hear me read the text, that's as fast as I can read silently. I can't read any faster. Some of you can. You blaze through the pages. Okay? My wife reads fast. My mother reads fast. I read slow. It's just the way my brain works. If I read fast, I don't understand it. I've got to, in my brain, be saying every word. Okay, so I don't read real fast, but in less than 20 minutes every day, I can read through the Bible in a year. I have one of those one-year Bibles. Try to get one. I'll help you if you need help with it. I hate to say that because I get into that Bible ordering and business, but if it'll help you, I've tried to do it before. Find a Bible reading schedule that somebody has to read. There's all kinds of apps for your phone or your tablet or your pad or your Flickr thingamajigger, okay? Whatever. There's all kinds of ways, okay? But here's what I would rather you do. I would rather you read one verse every day for 365 days than to read 365 verses one day and not read the rest of the year. Okay? If all you can handle is one verse, then read one verse every single day. Ask God, open my eyes that I might see, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then read something from the Bible. Every single day. Say, I'm not a morning person. Read it at night. Say, I'm not a night person. Read it at noon. Okay? Find a place that works for you. Find a place that works for you. Read something out of the Bible. Look, if you'll confess every day to God your failures, and if you will read something out of the Bible every day, you are going to be well on your way to getting close to God in this new year. So I'll make a third suggestion. Make a prayer list and pray every day. So confess to God every day. Read something out of the Bible every day. Make a prayer list. Say, I got a good memory. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Write it down. I'll tell you why. Not only will number one, you'll forget things, but number two, you're going to take great pride at doing this. Cross it off the list when God answers that prayer. Cross it off the list. There's, you know, I have some of the old prayer lists that I had, and it is great joy to look back at those and see the things crossed off. Crossed off. It's a great day we cross off my dad's salvation off the list, you know. Cross it off. You know, finish college, cross it off, you know. You know, out of the military, cross it off, you know. You know, whatever it was that you're praying about, write it down so you can have the joy of crossing it off the list. Look, if you confess, and by the way, if you confess every day, if you confess quickly, it keeps you from, it prevents you quite often from repeating that same sin today that you did yesterday because you just humbled yourself before God and confessed it. And it's already there in your heart and mind, and it helps you not to do it again today. If you'll decide to take an honest evaluation of yourself every morning and confess yourself, your sins to God and read something out of the Bible every day and make a prayer list and pray a little bit every day, and you'll do it every day for 365 days, I got news for you. You next year at this time are going to say, wow, I did not know the Christian life could be this great. I had no idea it could be this great, because you're going to be closer to God than you've ever been. I'm suggesting to you this morning that we make some family resolutions like Joshua did. That we make some far country resolutions like the prodigal son did. And by the way, he fulfilled them, didn't he? He got up, he went to his father, he said everything he was going to say, and went back to the father's house. Make some family resolutions. Make some far country resolutions. And then lastly, don't give up because of failed resolutions. Don't give up because of failed resolutions. Now I'm going to be reading out of 1 Chronicles, not Corinthians, 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 22. Events out of the life of David. And I want to read for you verses 7 through 10. And we'll read part of that story in chapter 28 as well in verses 2 and 3. Here's what it says. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 7. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born unto thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give him peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 2 says this. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. So in chapter 22, he's speaking to Solomon. In chapter 28, he's speaking to all of Israel. He stands upon his feet and says, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Here's what I'm saying. David wanted to build the temple badly. He mentions it repeatedly. He gathered all the stuff for it. God wouldn't let him do it. He had made a resolve that he was not going to dwell in a nice palace and a house when there wasn't a temple for God, and he was going to build it. That's what he thought he was supposed to do. He gathered stuff for it. That was his plan. And it didn't work out. But here's what I want you to get from that. It's better to have some good intentions and not able to fulfill them completely than to have bad ones and fulfill them very well. At least there were good intentions. At least there were good intentions. Listen, you may have, in verse 7 of chapter 22, he said it was in my mind to build a house. In chapter 28 and verse 2, he said it was in my heart. He told Solomon it was in my mind to do this, and I wasn't able to do it. He told the people it was in my heart to do this, and I wasn't able to do it. But at least he was ready, willing to attempt something great for God. Look, you decided to read your Bible through last year. That was a good resolution. That was a good thing. You weren't able to do it, all right? Don't be discouraged because you failed. Decide to pick up. Maybe in the future you'll be able to do it. And get at it again. Get busy at it. You decided to be a prayer warrior, make a prayer list, and you did it for like 2 days, and now you quit, right? Okay? By the way, this is the time of year when if you want to be in business selling exercise equipment. Because everybody buys exercise equipment. And then, in April, be in the business of buying it back and holding it till next year in December, and you can sell it again. Because in 4 months, almost everybody that's bought a gym membership and exercise equipment has quit exercising. Okay? That happens. And it happens with spiritual resolutions as well. But decide that it's better to attempt great things for God and fail than to attempt nothing for God and do everything for self, sin, and the devil. Okay? So attempt something great for God. And if you've attempted something for God in the past and failed, listen, I tried to witness to my family, it didn't work out. Well, try again. Don't give up on it. I'm saying that sometimes failed resolutions are not complete failures. The house of God was eventually built. The temple was eventually built. The resting place for the Ark of the Covenant was eventually built. And all these supplies that David gathered were used by Solomon to build it. And so it was accomplished, though he did not get to see it happen. Decide not to give up because of failed resolutions of the past. Not only are good intentions better than bad ones, but God's intervention sometimes leads us away from what we thought we should do. Verse 8, he said that God said, "Thou shalt not build a house unto my name." In chapter 28, verse 3, he says, "But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house." God put a stop to it. Look, we can set out with all the good intentions in the world, and we set out with all the good resolutions that we want for this new year, but you have to be sensitive enough to God that when he says no or turns it, you don't get mad and pout. "Well, I'm never going to do anything for God again, because I wanted to do this, and he wouldn't let me." You know, I know people like that. I know people, there's people all over this country that don't even go to church anymore, that were in Bible colleges and they wanted to be preachers, or they wanted to be missionaries, and at some point maybe God said no. He had something else for them. But they got mad because they couldn't do what they thought God wanted them to do. And now they're not even going to church because they're mad and pouting. They're going to suck their finger all the way till they get to heaven. All the way. Because they're mad and pouty because they didn't get to do what they thought they were supposed to do. Here's what I'm saying. You have got to be sensitive to God and let him intervene in your life. When I surrendered to preach, you know what I thought I was going to do? Run a Christian camp. And then after that, you know what I thought I was going to do? I remember telling Pastor Collette, who was from this area here somewhere. Matter of fact, he was an assistant over there at Rhymer Road for years. I told him when he was my pastor, I said, "God has called me to work with the bus ministry the rest of my life." He said, "You're never going to pastor." I said, "No. This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life." That's what I thought. And by the way, for that period of time, that's what I needed to think. Okay? So you don't know what God has laying around the corner for you. Okay? I laugh at young people sometimes, you know, even some people that we've talked to recently. I laugh at young people. You know, I know I have heard young men and young ladies had a bad experience in a relationship, whether it was boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, and they said, "That's it, I'm never getting married. That's it." And usually within a year, they've got a serious boyfriend or girlfriend. And I want to say, "Hey, whatever happened to this, I ain't getting married stuff." That didn't last long, did it? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we start out sometimes at the beginning of a year and we feel like maybe this is something God wants us to do, and God turns us a different way. Don't get mad and pout about it and give up. Decide that it's better to have good intentions and let God lead you than to have nothing at all as a goal in your life. Look, I'm saying that when it comes to failed resolutions, Good intentions are better than bad ones, and you've got to be sensitive and let God intervene. And then thirdly, decide that if you will pick yourself up and dust yourself off, even after you may have failed at a resolution, that you'd be able to leave a great legacy behind. David leaves behind a great legacy. In chapter 22, verses 9 and 10, the scripture says, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee." God tells him, you're not allowed to do this, but you're going to have a son. And his name is going to be Solomon. And then in verse 10, he says, "He shall build this house." David leaves behind a great legacy because even though he may have failed at the resolution he had in his mind and his heart, God showed him a way that was still going to be accomplished, and he had a small part in it. And he had to be satisfied with the small part that he had. Look, don't be afraid to make resolutions because you failed in the past. Decide to start out and do it again. Anybody here ever run out of gas in your car? Yeah. So you don't drive anymore, right? You never drive anymore because you ran out of gas once. Anybody ever have a flat tire? But you don't drive anymore, right? You never drive anymore because you had a flat tire once. Anybody ever have an accident? My car, which is relatively new, has, let's just for sake of argument, say it has four sides. There is only one side of my car that hasn't been hit by something or hit into something. Three of the four sides. The only side that's not hit is the front, which is nice because when I drive, I can look at the front and that's the only part. My son James was here and I let him and Nicolina use my car to go somewhere and they put something in the trunk and he came back and said, "What happened to your trunk, Dad?" And I said, "Well, that's where your mom backed into Micah's car in the parking lot." By the way, everything on my car that happened in a parking lot somewhere. Everything. But since you had an accident, you don't drive anymore, right? Since you ran out of gas once, you never drive anymore, right? Since you had a flat tire, no. You didn't give up, right? You changed the tire, you called AAA, you waved somebody down and looked sad, and they changed it for you somehow. You got back on the road. You walked with a gas can. I think it was last Sunday, we were leaving here, and somebody was on the expressway where it narrows down where it narrows down to narrow lanes, and she had her four ways on. She had a big can of gas, pouring gas in her car. I'm thinking, oh, poor, in the middle of a highway. You know? But guess what? We picked up and tried again, didn't we? We didn't give up just because we had a bad experience with that. You ever eat something and upset your stomach, made you throw up? So you don't eat anymore, do you? Because you ate something once and it upset your stomach. I can tell by looking at all of you, you don't eat anymore. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, so the devil tells you, you made resolutions in the past. In the past, you said you'd read the Bible, you didn't do it. In the past, you said you'd pray, you didn't do it. In the past, you said you'd witness to people, you didn't do it. In the past, you said you were going to get involved in a ministry, you didn't do it. You failed, don't try again. But we don't do that in any other area of our life. I'm saying decide not to let past failures keep you. Don't hesitate to make new resolutions or maybe even make the same one. And decide you're going to fulfill it this time. Hey, when you started walking, you fell and fell and fell and fell, and you just kept trying. When you learned to ride a bike, you kept falling and having trouble falling, and you kept doing it. You know, as a kid, little kid, I used to be amazed at the way my dad would whistle. He would put his fingers in his mouth and whistle really loud, and that impressed me. And he always tried to show me how to do it, and I couldn't do it. And he'd whistle with two fingers like this, and he'd whistle with two fingers like this. And I was always, and take two thumbs and turn them over and whistle with fingers in his mouth. And I could never do it. And one day I was probably 10 or 11 and I decided, I'm going to learn to do this. He has showed me how to do it. I spent a whole day doing nothing but trying to whistle with my fingers in my mouth till I got blisters. And you know what? I finally got it. You know, failure's never been something that's made me decide to quit on something. It's made me rise up and say, all right, I've got to do this again. I'm going to do it till I get it right. Look, in almost everything you do, you learned by failing and moved on. Decide that you're not going to let spiritual things lay waste and go by the wayside undone or unattempted in your life because the devil tells you you failed in the past. Outline a plan and decide to move forward. By the way, when I fail at something, I believe the plan was wrong and so I back up. I'm going to do the same thing, but we're going to do it different this time. Right? We're not going to be insane. You know, Einstein said something to the effect that if you put the same elements together, and expect a different outcome, it's insanity. Okay? So this is the outcome I want. Back up and let's change the procedure. Let's change something about it so that we can get the outcome we want. Decide you're going to back up and get a new plan. Decide you're going to look at the bigger picture and not be discouraged. Decide not to let failure cause you not to reach out and make some resolutions for the future. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's three great resolutions that I've seen and I've pointed out to you today in the scriptures. The first one was a family resolution. Now, let's make some family resolutions for the future. The second was a far country resolution. Let's decide to make some resolutions to get closer to God. And then let's keep them. And then we looked at some failed resolutions. Let's not quit because of failed resolutions. Let's decide to move forward and do some great things for God in the year ahead. Someone wrote, "Lord, this year I want to change. And I know I've said that in the past. But now my prayer is different because I understand at last. I wanted my own way before. I ignored your loving plans. But now I'm putting everything into your precious hands. I promise to obey you out of gratitude and love and won't be giving orders to my heavenly Father above. I finally realize the truth, and so I've changed my prayer. The safest place for me to be is in your loving care. Please be my shepherd, Lord Jesus, and guide me the whole year through, in good times and in bad times this year. May I always look to you." Let's make some good and godly New Year's resolutions. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? Father, I pray that you bless us today. And Lord, I pray that as we end the year and move into a new year, you would help us to make some godly resolutions. Maybe they need to be some family resolutions that are made. Maybe they need to be some far country resolutions. Maybe they need to be some resolutions that are even resolutions we have failed at in the past. But God, allow us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and let him guide us into making good and godly resolutions for the year ahead. Now, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Two simple questions for you today. Question number one, I want you to say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me about New Year's resolutions.